Man number 4. Science and Health 468, beginning at line 8, entitled The Scientific Statement of Being. The concept of man is sprinkled throughout this statement of being. And why not? Basically, the universe is composed of God, which is qualities, and as defined by Mary Baker Eddy, are the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That's page 465 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And on page 587, she defines God as being the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. Right below that, she defines good, G-O-O-D, and that is defined as God, spirit, and then the four omnis of omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And we know that she defines omniscience as all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. The way to incorporate the scientific statement of being into and apply it to the system, or rather apply the system to the scientific statement of being, is very easy. All we have to do is remember the definitions of God, and also I should mention the operators, which are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Just as math has the digits of 0 through 9, Mary Baker Eddy has defined God as having the 7 synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In math, the operators are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. In the system of divine metaphysics, the operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word, in short, means the facts about God. The Christ means the interpretation of anything that comes our way so that we see the spiritual nature as being the reality and anything unlike God being unreality. Christianity means to demonstrate what comes our way out of it, seeing the unreality of it, and experiencing healing so that we are consciously aware that we're enveloped in the 7 synonymous terms for God. In other words, it is the living, the definition of God, and the four operators. The fourth one is science, and from the low level, that means Christian science, which really starts at the lowest level, which is depravity. And if you look on page 115 to 116 of Science and Health, she defines that where she shows you the four levels. And there are 3 levels of mortality, starting at the lowest that was just mentioned and working up to a more spiritual level. And then the highest one is God himself or itself, which is immortal. So she gives the translation of immortal mind, and then she gives 3 translations of mortal mind. So all we have to do is think about the elements of all of these things that have just been mentioned in this recording and apply them to the scientific statement of being. For example, mind is all creative ability, all capacity, all capability, all functionality. And remember that it is also all action. And if we apply action to creative capacity and to the other things mentioned of capacity, capability, functionality, and so forth, then we're going to come up with performance, because the action is applied to those other qualities, and it ends up being performance. Performance is then measured as power. And if we realize that God is omnipotent, there's nothing that can interfere with it, and we understand that God is infinite, then there is no limit to the capability, capacity, functionality, or the creative ability, or the action of God. So there's nothing that can overpower God. And if you think God is limited, then you are barking up the wrong tree. Because God, as mentioned already, is defined as good. That means that God is not a part of anything the corrupt insurance industry tries to convince you of, saying, well, this is an act of God, and therefore it is excluded from, you know, your coverage. So when you file a claim and they say, well, this is an act of God, so you're not covered, well, that's the same thing as having life insurance. It's really death insurance. If you pass on, then there's a payment, if they don't find some way to wiggle out of it. Everything that is material is a false representation of what is true. Everything. Mary Baker Eddy defines mortal history as being lie compounded upon lie. Lie upon lie, lie upon lie. And it is promoted through the media so that we are convinced that it is truth. Just like cancer or COVID, promoted through the media because it is a profit-making venture for the drug industry, the medical industry. They live on falsity. But anyone who understands an inkling about the Bible strives to live on truth. That means on the Word, which is the facts about God. And we use the Christ in order to translate anything that comes our way so that we see the difference between truth and error, and we focus on the truth and we deny that error has any reality because it has no basis in God. So if we want to apply the system, by the way, the system is defined by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146, or at least it is referred to. It is not defined in any detail. It just mentions that. Let me just get it here and read it to you directly. Here it is. And we have it at the top of every page of our website. The system of divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate a divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for the present application to the cure of disease. Now remember, disease is really anything that is ungodlike. It is a dis-ease. It is the same as any discord or any chaos. Peace and harmony are ease. Discord is dis-ease. So it can come in any form: sin, sickness, death, friction in a relationship, a failure of an event that is a wholesome activity to benefit humanity. Any form you can imagine. And that's why in Mary Baker Eddy's letter to a student that is under the title of Vision, she says, can you focus on whatever comes your way, no matter what it is? So that's what we need to do in the Christ and in the Christianity activity, is we want to focus on the truth no matter what it is. No matter what comes our way, what form of mortal belief or suggestion comes our way, we must be perseverant and discipline our thought so that we recognize error, put it in its right place, which is a foundation of nothingness, and focus on what God is, what man is, and what the relationship is between God and man. So how do we apply the system? And the system is really understanding, or at least striving to understand as much as we are able to do at the moment, on what God is and what these operators are, and make sure we understand that everything is one, so that mind does not operate by itself, but it mixes, intertwines with, interweaves with spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the same with the operators. The word intermingles with the Christ, Christianity, and science. In other words, we can't be thinking about the word, which is the facts about God, in isolation, because that's like thinking about the number one by itself. It has to be applied to a subject, or a topic or an object. Well, the word, which are the facts about God, need to be applied to the Christ, Christianity, and science. In other words, what comes our way, we need to immediately be thinking about God. So that is a mixture of the Word and the Christ. And if we're going to demonstrate, we certainly can't demonstrate without having an appreciation for the facts about God. And if we're going to tackle Christian science at its lowest level, which is depravity, we certainly are not going to get anywhere unless we think about God. So, the Word mixes with all the others. The Christ mixes with all the others because we're constantly translating and interpreting. And Christianity, we're constantly demonstrating. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Mary Baker Eddy explains that prayer is not going to God and asking for something, because God already has done everything. God is qualities. The quality of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are always available. All we have to do is open our thought. Genesis 1, up through verse number 3 in Genesis 2, is the true record of creation. And every single one, and it's divided into 7 days, and every single one of those days is preceded by the word, let us. And Mary Baker Eddy explains in chapter 15, which is the spiritual interpretation of creation, she explains that us means that man is a combination of male and female qualities. In other words, man is generic. In fact, she says male, female, and neuter. So man is generic. It's not meant to mean a male human. It is meant to mean the qualities that are generally attributed to man as a human, such as strength and courage. And woman is, the cultivation of nurturing, tenderness, kindness, loving, caring, those kind of qualities. So if we want to be a complete person, a complete individual reflecting God, we have to have both the male and the female qualities incorporated into our very thought, speech, and action. Do you think it does any good to be strong and courageous if we are rough and unthinking and uncaring about others? It doesn't do any good if we're out there like some kind of a he-man, and all we're doing is like these guys that have these truck pulling contests. They pull these semi-tractor and trailers. Or maybe it's just the truck. I don't know. I watched it a couple of times. Anyway, they put a harness on and they pull what seems to be an impossible thing. It takes several hundred pounds of energy. You're pulling several hundred pounds to get that vehicle rolling. Well, there may be all you want to do is exercise brute strength. But if you're married or you have any friends or in your a business and have any kind of relationships with your staff or your clients or anything like that, obviously if you don't have a relationship with your clients, you don't have any business. And if you don't have any relationship with your staff, you're not going to have anybody working for you. So, in other words, you are relating to people all day long. And we have to make sure that we're relating in a manner that is acceptable to the standards of God. Are we loving? Are we caring? Are we nurturing the qualities of God in every thought, speech, and action? Or are we just out there like some wild animal that is for survival, and they will just tear anything apart that comes in their way? So, anyone that thinks that they should only have the male qualities is very foolish, because they're not realizing that that has no lasting value. The only thing that has lasting value is God, which is represented by His qualities. His qualities. So when we think about spirit, spirit is, for example, substance. Substance is flawless. It is transparent. And it is reflective. That's what spirit represents. But we have to be intelligent when we're analyzing something to make sure we are looking at the spiritual value of what we're analyzing. So that's mind, intelligence of mind, and the wisdom of mind applying it to analyzing substance. And how about soul? Soul is sense, spiritual sense. That means spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Are we applying intelligence when we are doing those things to see if we are exercising the spiritual qualities of God instead of just the brute instinct of an animal? I mean, Mary Baker Eddy defines error one in two words, evil, all evil, she defines as animal magnetism. That means we are attracted to the survival nature of a wild animal. Is that the way we want to be? Or do we want to be a kind and gentle and strong, courageous, but yet thoughtful and considerate individual that is using our spiritual senses instead of the brute instinct of an animal? Which one do you think is going to be able to survive? Sooner or later, every animal comes up to his match, has another fight. Only one of them wins. Is that the way we want to be? We want to fight to death? Or do we want to be reflecting eternal life of God? Life is living the qualities. Okay, where does action come from? Action comes from mind. Living is action. How about compounding? Compounding is a matter of spirit, where we're looking at spirit plus spirit equals more spirit. How about soul? That is the view we have of everything. Are we going to be intelligent in the way we view things? Are we going to be wise? Are we going to realize our capacity and our capability and our functionality to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to function as seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling in a spiritual nature if we don't have the intelligent wisdom? And how about the knowing? You see, if we're intelligent and wise, that means that we know what to do. We know how to sense things, utilizing soul. And we know how to live correctly. So that is the senses of, or the capacity and capability and functionality of mind applied to all of these things that have been mentioned. And the next one is principle. Principle represents system and structure. Do we want to have a structure and system based on matter or spirit? I would rather combine spirit with principle to have a spiritual system and structure, because then it's going to be lasting and it's going to benefit all that are absolutely involved in whatever the topic is, whether it's our business, whether it's a marriage, whether it's, you know, raising a family, children and so forth involved, or putting together an event. It doesn't matter. Everything has its principle. And if we leave out spirit, which is the real substance, we're not going to have anything that's going to be fun or is going to be lasting or being able to serve mankind. And if we're not working to serve mankind, then we're working to serve a kind of error, animal propensities. Which do we want? Do we want spirit or matter? Do we want reality or unreality? Do we want immortal mind or mortal mind? Do we want spiritual senses or material senses? So, system and structure are primary functions of principle, but what good is that without love? I haven't covered love, but love is the plan and design of everything. Let's go to life. Then we'll get into love more thoroughly. Okay, what is life? Well, life is, as already mentioned, is living the qualities of God. And do we want to live them in a material fashion or a spiritual? Think about what love is in a sensual way. How long does that last? Not very long. And people can get moody, angry. There's no lasting value at all in a sensual love. But in a spiritual love, it's like doing something for someone when they really need it. They never forget it. They never forget it. They will always think of the person that helped them when they were in need and what they did. They probably will remember all the details about what they did. Would you rather, as a matter of fact, if you haven't given unselfishly to someone that was in need, you don't know what the thrill of is giving. You absolutely do not know the thrill of giving. There's no way you can properly express gratitude. Mary Baker Eddy says, gratitude is more in deeds than in words. And she says, gratitude is really being grateful for life, truth, and love. It's not being grateful for material things, money, house, new car, beautiful wife, whatever. If you're looking at the material aspect, then you are shortchanging yourself and you are putting a limit on what otherwise could be spiritual qualities. I visited a longtime friend of mine who had been a practitioner for her life. And when I came to their door, and this was prearranged, of course, she answered and she said, well, we're watching the Olympics. This is a summer Olympics. In fact, gymnastics happened to be on. And she said, would you enjoy watching it with us for a while? And so I said, sure. So we were watching it. And gymnastics, as I mentioned, was on, and there was a lady that was performing. And immediately she said, look at the grace that that lady is exhibiting in all of her actions. And I mean, she was smooth as silk. So she was looking at the qualities, nothing else. Now, she could have been looking at the quality of action. She was looking at the quality of principle where everything is coordinated and smooth and operating in a system. But she could have been looking at mind. She said, wow, just think of the thoughts that she must have had in order to put together her presentation on how she was going to do things and in what sequence she was going to do it and why she was going to do it. And she probably was going to be thinking about her capacity and her capability. In other words, she wouldn't be doing something if she didn't think she could do it. She would expect to be able to master whatever she was going to do. Otherwise, it would not be worthy of being in the Olympics. I've seen figure skaters that I'm just totally amazed at. Right now, we happen to have the Christmas presentation up on the website of MBE Institute. And we have a short little clip of a video of someone did a triple something where she went around three times in the air. I mean, she was hardly off the ground. but she was able to manage 360-degree turns three times before she came down. Absolutely perfect. And, of course, she's on the internet as being one of the best. But there's an example of perfection, capability, capacity, functionality, creative activity. You know, she created the idea of doing it three times. I don't think it had ever been done before. They had a name for it because it's easy. If you do it once, it's one name. If you, you know, it is whatever it's called, or a double is if you do it twice. She did it three times. So anyway, we need to think about applying one synonymous term to another one in order to come up with a more complete understanding of what the object is. So, how about truth? Do we want to be intelligent when we are analyzing what really is true or what is false? Or do we want to be ignorant? If we're building a house, do we want to know how to build it? Well, that's intelligence. That's wisdom and knowing. That's capability, capacity, functionality, creative ability. If we're doing something creative, like some of the great architects have been very creative in their designs. Well, that capability doesn't come from a brain. That comes from divine mind. The capable, the creative activity of mind. Whether they recognize it or not is up to them. They're going to shortchange themselves if they don't. Einstein has been considered as one of the most brilliant humans on Earth, and he frequently recognized that there is a power that is beyond any kind of human thinking or human ability that is controlling the universe. And he eventually became a student of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. This was long after she had passed. This was in like the 1940s or so. And he had a friend called Dr. Underwood. And he was one of the team. This is Dr. Underwood, not Einstein himself. But Dr. Underwood was one of the team that was on the Atomic Research Center. And they were messing around with the atom, trying to make the atom bomb. Everybody that was on that team passed on, except Dr. Underwood. Everyone, from radiation exposure. And Dr. Underwood was a student of Mary Baker Eddy, and he was healed of the radiation. And he was good friends with Einstein, and so they were in contact with each other on a regular basis, apparently. And when Dr. Underwood was healed, and Dr. Einstein inquired, well, how did this happen? You know, how could you survive when everybody else is expired? And he said, well, I'm a student of Christian Science, of Mary Baker Eddy. And so then Einstein really got interested in Mary Baker Eddy. And he started attending the church services. He would visit the reading rooms. And he made various very profound statements. We've got a number of things about Einstein and what he said about Christian Science. But he basically, this sums it up in like one or two, a few words anyway. And he said, blessed art thou, and that's a capital T, and he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy. He said, because everything that is in this book. And the book is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Imagine somebody that spent his life researching the laws of physics. And, of course, he's the one that came up with the formula for relativity back in around 1900. And that's what really made him of notoriety. And he said, also he said something very significant. He said, imagine she discovered this 80 years ago. This is about 1950 he said that. So he's referring to like probably the first version of Science and Health, 1866. Because that would have been like 84 years if it was 1950. It's around 1950 that he made that statement as he was coming out of church. And, we've got a number of things about him and his relationship to Christian Science, what he thought of it. Same thing with Clara Barton. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross. And, of course, everyone knows that the Red Cross uses medication, drugs, and so forth. And she said she did not consider herself a Christian Scientist, but because she hasn't learned enough about it to rely on it completely. But she said Mary Baker Eddy is the greatest woman on earth. A lot of people think Clara Barton was, but Clara Barton said Mary Baker Eddy was. And Clara Barton was around when Mary Baker Eddy was, around as well. So I don't believe there's any indication that they actually met, but Clara Barton was interviewed by one of the notable news magazines, and that interview is on our website. Okay, so truth represents, think of somebody building a house, or say a big skyscraper, boy, they better have their mathematics correct, or it's going to topple over before they even get it built. Get it partway up, and if they don't have those lines straight, and if they don't have the welding exactly perfect, it's not going to last. I don't know anyone that knows anything about welding, but, my experience is taking one welding engineering class in college because I thought it'd be interesting to learn how to do it. And I've never done it since I got out of school, but anyway. but imagine the welding, the guy didn't know what he was doing. The welds wouldn't hold. But welding is basically melting the steel and adding more steel to it. And, of course, it's the same way they do it in a factory when they make the steel. But it's doing a small part of it, adding another piece of steel to it in whatever angle you want and whatever shape, size, and so forth. So we have to weld our consciousness to the facts of God. Oh, I've never said that before. That's interesting. It just came out. So we need to weld our thought, speech, and action to the thought, speech, and action of God. And remember, Genesis 1, Mary Baker Eddy replaces where it says in the beginning, to in the only. So in other words, everything that is true has always been true. The entire creation has always been true. The way the different planets are in a rotation, all of these different things that are in the skies, it's all one big coordinated network of operation. I mean, there's no human that could have possibly done that. It has to be a power that is beyond any human description. And it is. It is the capability, the capacity, the functionality of God, of infinite mind, of an infinite mind, infinite without limit, and its spiritual qualities, to be able to even recognize it, spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Its spiritual qualities to be able to smell a rose or anything else that is fragrant, that is beautiful and smells good. I mean, even food. One of the people that used to work for me said that she knew how to keep her husband happy while she was cooking. She said, all I do is cook onions. And she said, that keeps him happy because he knows something good's coming. So even to be able to appreciate a flavor, an aroma rather, is a function of God, because it is recognizing the beauty of the fragrance. Beauty is a function of God. A good fragrance is a function of God. A good taste is a function of God. Now, if all we're doing is tasting it from a material basis, that doesn't do anything. But if we recognize that God is really the source behind the intelligence that brought that flavor, then that's a function of God. Looking at a beautiful tree in bloom, or just with leaves on it, or even bare. The beauty of a winter scene with a bare leaf tree with snow piled up on the leaves, or up on the branches, I mean. Any beauty we see is us reflecting the beauty of God, because these things are all just symbols. So if we want to apply the system that Mary Baker really refers to on page 146 to the scientific statement of being, all we have to do is take any word that is in scientific statement of being and work with it and realize that that is also a network with these other things, like no substance, no life, truth, and intelligence, or substance in matter. Well, we can think of what life is, what truth is, what substance is, and we can realize that matter is the opposite of the truth of real substance, which is spirit. Because spirit is transparent, matter is not transparent. Matter is not anything. Matter is the absence of spirit. Matter is the absence of reality. So, and I've noted this in other treatments, but if we seem to have a problem, we can say there's no life, truth, and intelligence or substance in, and then we can put the name of that problem there. Or it could be generic. It could be a pain, or it could be a discord, or a friction in a relationship. It could be anything. Just substitute it into the word for the matter. Because matter means a belief that substance is not spirit. And of course, obviously, a discord is not spirit. And the next phrase is that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. So what does all mean? It means all existence. All existence. All existence is a manifestation of God. God could not manifest itself unless it was infinite and all power, because there would be competition or opposition to it. But is there competition or opposition to omnipotence? Well, where is the power going to come from? If God is omnipotent, there's no other power. It says all is infinite mind. Well, certainly mortal mind is not infinite. Mortal mind is totally finite. In fact, it's so finite, it doesn't exist. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Well, we can think about what is spirit. Spirit is flawless. That's part of the system. It's defining. It's the word. It's defining God. Spirit is flawless. It's transparent. The Indians used to refer to a lake as the smile of the Great Spirit. Are we seeing the smile of God when we look out into a beautiful horizon or a sky or anything beautiful? The smile of God. It's a symbol. A beautiful architecture is a symbol of the smile of God. Two people getting along in beautiful harmony is the smile of God. And we, by the way, have to be very alert when there seems to be harmony, because that's exactly what AM, animal magnetism, tries to attack. Because it is the opposite. And it wants to make everyone believe. Of course, it has no power on its own, so it's only a suggestion that is there. But the tendency is to have harmony interfered with and to create chaos. And of course, that's exactly what evil is. It is someone that promotes chaos. In fact, that's what the big thing is right now. The ones that are pro-America are attacked, and they're tried, there's tremendous effort to divide everyone that is pro-America. Get them fighting with each other. It's exactly a feature of so-called mortal mind. Divide and conquer. We need to divide error into its different parts of nothingness to conquer it. Well, that's what people that are representing evil are doing. They're trying to divide and conquer those who are united. That's why they don't want families anymore. That's why they want to, kill. Which is exactly what they do. They want everyone to believe a lie. One of the three-letter agencies of the U.S. government said our disinformation in program will be complete when everyone believes a lie to be true. One of the more senior people as a politician said, here's one of the tactics that we use. She was talking to all of her people that were following her. Hundreds. And she said, make up a lie about somebody that you want to defeat. Anything, just fabricate it. And then give it to the media. And convince the media to publish it. And then use the media as your authority that it's true. How's that for the way animal magnetism works? Evil, that's how evil works. It has no basis. It's created from nothing. It's created from a lie. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, mortal history is a lie upon lie. Well, that's what the MSM is, mainstream media. They're lies upon lie. What happens when there's an accident? They want pictures out there. They want you to see the blood and the everything. And then they talk to the somebody that survived it that is maybe limping or whatever, and they said, how do you feel about this? I mean, can you believe that they lead all the viewers into trying to get emotionally involved into the accident? What would happen if somebody was a Christian Scientist or any sincere student of the Bible? They could be following Moses or Jesus or Paul there's lots of things that someone can read and rely on without even being a Christian Scientist. And they could say, and they could quote a Bible verse, okay? Or they could quote Mary Baker Eddy, where her last written words were, God is my life. Somebody could be grateful that they survived. I'm very grateful to God for life. God is my life. And I look to Him as the one that saved me. Imagine what that would be versus looking at the blood and all the tragedy of the accident and asking someone, well, how do you feel? maybe they lost their husband, their daughter, their son, their aunt, uncle, whatever. How do you feel? Well, how do you think they're going to feel? Especially if somebody's pumping them to try to give them emotion. Do we want to live on emotion or do we want to live on the spiritual senses? Remember, Mary Baker Eddy said, can you focus no matter what comes your way? If we see an accident as we're walking down the street or driving our car, what should we be thinking? She asked somebody, one of her students, she said, when you see a stray dog on the street or you see an accident, what do you do? And it was a man. He hesitated for a moment. And before he said anything, she says, are you a Christian Scientist? And he knew what he should be doing as a Christian Scientist. He knows what it states in the you know, in science and health, well, how about the scientific statement of being? How about just thinking about that and how it applies to the present situation? And he said, no, Mary Baker Eddy, I'm not a Christian Scientist. I've said this in other treatments, but when she had a gathering of some 2,000 people that came to her house in at Pleasant View in Concord, New Hampshire, I think it was on the 4th of July, she tells Laura Sargent, one of her right-hand people that was living in the household with her, that were working on their CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science, she says, you know, Laura, I look out over these 2,000 people, and of course she could sense what people were, their character. She says, I look out over these 2,000 people, and I don't see a single Christian Scientist. In other words, they were there to have the opportunity to see Mary Baker Eddy in the flesh. And yet, what does Mary Baker Eddy say? To find me, look in my books. To find me, look in my books. Well, they wanted to see her in person. And they would go to this tremendous expense. Imagine back in 1900 or 1906 or 7, whenever it was. No, it was before that, because she moved out of Pleasant View, I think, in 1906 to start the Monitor. So she felt she had to be in Boston in order to get it done. Imagine, back about 1906, traveling from, because some came from the West Coast, traveling from the West Coast. In fact, some probably came from overseas in Europe. Yeah, they went to all this effort and expense for one afternoon in a few hours to mull around in her landscape outside. Well, there's one good thing that came from this fake pandemic, and that is that people realized they didn't have to travel. They've established a lot of home offices as a result of it, and maybe go into an office once or twice a week. A bank I go to, the banker is gone 2 days a week. He's working at home. People I bought computers from, the boss, doesn't go in the office at all. He works at home all the time. The guy that founded the company. There's blessings in everything if we look for it. Even the fraud, we can find a blessing. If nothing more, we can see that it's a reminder for us to reverse it in our thought. And to know that the public cannot be tricked into believing that there's a reality in a fake piece of fake. Well, in fact, any disease is a fake because it is a dis-ease. It is not the quality of God that is being recognized of being mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Truth is the healer. That means error is the problem. Not truth is a problem, but error. So sin, sickness, and death cannot be truth, because a disease cannot be a truth. Any dis-ease cannot be a truth. Anything chaotic, anything unlike God, cannot be true. It is so easy to think about the network. We didn't even get the love. Love. What is love? Well, think about having incorporated mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth into your analysis and into your life, into your demonstration, into your interpretation, the Christ, and into the demonstration, which is Christianity. Well, when you get to getting an inkling of understanding about each one of those, then you can be looking at love, because love is the consolidation, the assimilation. It is wholeness and completeness. And how do we get there? With the quality of nurturing, like a mother. A mother nurtures her little child, guards it and guides it until it can be on its own, helps it learn how to walk, you know, holds its hand and let the little toddler move its legs and feet until it has confidence that it can stand up on its own. Pretty soon we wish they weren't able to walk. Because they'll be running all around the house, causing all kinds of chaos. All we have to do is open our thought. Are we kind and gentle, considerate, patient? Well, that's love. And we need to do it not just with our friends, but with our enemies. Mary Baker Eddy says in her article entitled Love Your Enemies, in Miscellaneous Writings, or no, I don't know, maybe it's in Unity of Good. No, I think it's in Miscellaneous Writings. Anyway, in Love Your Enemies, she says, who is your enemy? Except someone that we think is our enemy. That means we are attaching a personality to that individual. We're making them a human instead of thinking of their divine qualities. If we are all brethren, who is human? Nobody. We can't all be brethren and we have some humans and some that are not. We have to be thinking of everyone as being human. Everyone as being a quality, a son and daughter of God. Well, where are we on the scientific statement of being? There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal air. That's where we are. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. So, material senses are temporal. Spiritual senses are the real and eternal. Spirit is God. Okay, so the substance. The only substance is what God is. So, when we think about what is spirit, we're thinking about God. Spirit of God. And man is his image and likeness. So we could put in there, I am God's image and likeness. You know, do our substitution. I am God's image and likeness. You'd be surprised what kind of healing can come about. I had a healing doing that kind of thing, substituting the words. It's in another recording, so I'm not going to repeat it here. I think it's in Man number 3, Man Defined number 3. But you can... This is such a powerful tool, the scientific statement of being. But we have to make it our own. We can't just glibly repeat it. You know, I went to a Catholic church. I don't know what they call them, mass, I guess it is. And I had a friend who was a Catholic. And she wanted me to go to the mass with her. And so I was curious. I'd never been in a Catholic church. And so I went to her to find out what it was. And I couldn't believe how the priest repeated the Lord's Prayer. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Obviously he didn't say adorable one. Anyway, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Anyway, whatever. You know, he repeated the words like it was a race. You know, I've raced cars and motorcycles, and this is not a race. This is not supposed to be a race. That's an entertainment thing if you want to go out and be entertained. If you want to understand what God is about and you want to try to get close to God, you better forget about trying to repeat it at the speed of light. I mean, how can you think about anything if all you're doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? I mean, you know, and I don't mean to be criticizing the Catholic Church or that priest, but when Mary Baker Eddy says pray aright, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing, I don't think they mean just connecting words and rattling it off. I mean, you might as well just put a tape recorder on and walk away and let the their MP3s now, not tapes. But anyway, just let the MP3, in fact, you can increase the speed on them. Why not just have it at high speed and just play it, and then you go about and do your business? Well, okay, you prayed. You have to internalize it. You have to make it your own. You have to relate it to what your problem is or what you perceive as your problem. And also keep in mind, and I've said this many times, and that is that what you think is your problem very likely is not the problem. People that have the belief of cancer is not the problem. Something else that is bothering him is the problem. Something is eating away at their consciousness. That's their problem, probably. Cancer by itself can do nothing. It's a matter that it is grasping for life. Okay, well, what are you grasping for? Everything has a possibility of being a decoy. Because if there's one thing that so-called mortal mind is an expert at, that is being a decoy. Because it tries to mock truth. Are we going to listen, or are we going to dig for the truth? Or are we just going to try to find out everything we can about cancer or any other illness? We better forget about doing a study about cancer. It might be worthy to look in. In fact, it is very worthy to look in Frederick L. Rawson's book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, because he analyzes 1,315 ailments. I'm sure cancer is in there. I've never looked at it, but I'm sure it's in there. And he will give you what the mortal claim is about cancer in three or four words, or five or six or seven words. Okay? Just like I read the a quote from Mary Baker, or I didn't read it, but recited a quote from Mary Baker Eddy in her letter about vision. Well, he takes vision and breaks it down into the various possible problems there are about vision. He mentions astigmatism, cataract, I don't know, a couple other things, okay? And he says, well, this is the material belief about it, such and such and such and such. And in a few words, he tells you what the belief is about it. I'm sure he has cancer in there, because he covers, I think, everything that anyone could ever have experienced in there to help them. And then what he does is he gives the counterfact, okay? For example, if the belief is that the eyeball is not the right shape anymore, okay, he then tells you, well, man's is all-seeing. Man is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing. And all vision is spiritual, not material. Man is not material. Man is spiritual. And therefore, everything about man's vision is perfect because it's from God. God is doing the seeing. In other words, I don't know what he says. I'm just ad-libbing here. But he's putting it, he gives you that kind of line of thinking. And we have to internalize it for ourselves. Whatever our problem is, and again, like I said, we've got to keep in mind that it could be a decoy, okay? But it doesn't hurt to also say that about what appears to be the problem, and then make sure we go ahead and search for something else. And I've given this example many times. If you are on the way to a meeting and you have an accident, or maybe you're in a traffic jam and you can't move the car, these could all be decoys to try to prevent the meeting from taking place, or from you being at the meeting. So we want to, or your car breaks down or whatever. Okay? So we want to be open to the idea that there is a bigger picture that is being influenced by this little event that we are experiencing. Einstein says, if you have a problem, you have to raise your thought to a higher level if you want to solve the problem. You cannot solve the problem on the same level where the problem occurred. Now, I don't know whether he came to that conclusion before or after he was a student of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, but that's exactly right. And think about Shakespeare as an introductory quote to the entire book of Science and Health. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And also what Jesus said that is quoted by John in chapter 8. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, free of what? Free of the limitation of matter. Free of the limitation of material senses. Free of everything that is the opposite of God. And then the third introductory quote is, oh, thou art blessed. That's just the first few words. But the first few words give the idea, and that is that if you know the truth, and if you realize that your thoughts have a direct impact on your experience, and if you change your life to come in alignment with what those are telling us as an instruction, then you will be blessed. You will have the blessing. You will have the fruitage. But be like Solomon. Solomon said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we don't want to be looking for the things to be added unto us. We want to be looking for getting closer to God. What is God? What is man? What is the relationship between God and man? That's what we want to have as our focus. We must focus on the right thing. In fact, thinking about focus, Mary Baker Eddy uses the word diapason. And we have that on our website, the various things about the diapason of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And those are very short phrases that she recommends that we understand and recite, either verbally or, you know, written or whatever, depending on the circumstance. And she recommends we recite those continuously. They're very short, you know, 3 or 4 words for each one. You know, mind might have, I don't know, 5 or 10 of them. And the same with spirit and soul and so forth. But it's like one short paragraph because they're only like 3 or 4 words each. So I highly recommend you take a look at those diapason statements, because they're very short, and she recommends that we repeat them often. That's what she says. She says repeat them often. But we have to live them. We have to internalize them. It's like the statements in the platform. They're short statements, but that's where we stand. That's what's underneath of us. That's what holds up our study of Christian Science. That is our foundation, our building blocks. You know, that is the floor. We can't go any lower. We have to have that as our floor. It's like if you've ever watched high jumping in track and field events, sport events. And the high bar, they put it on they have these two verticals, and that there's a horizontal bar that is supported by a couple of hooks. And if you touch it, you're likely to knock it off. Well, where are we going to put the bar as our floor? We should put it up high. In fact, we should put it up as high as we can imagine perfection being, as high as we can imagine the definition of God being. And that should be our floor. And then we work up from there, or we go out from there. Or if we've ever watched pole vaulting, you know, they run down the runway and stick the pole in a little receptacle there that holds it in place while we go flying up in the air. Yeah, I've done both of those things. It's very interesting. But, you know, they are reminders. They're reminders on what we should be doing. Yeah, we're down here on the ground. We need to pole vault up to the top. We need pole vault up to the top. We need to get over that bar. Or a relay race. You know, 440-yard dash or whatever. You know, we might start off with mind. And then we go to the baton, which is spirit. And then soul. And then principle. And then we may take another lap. And do, you know, life, truth, and love. The point is, we have to let our consciousness accept the truth that we are not now aware of. We have to be so disgusted. In fact, John Morgan makes a very good statement about this. He says, you can't even think about what the qualities of God are, which is the Word, unless you've been disgusted with your life. You have to be disgusted with a mortal view of your activities and realize that it is a failure, that you get nowhere from mortal activities because it's a dance of mortal mind. And I'm ad-libbing here my own thoughts. But anyway, it's a dance of mortal mind where you're going around in circles. You might be having fun if you're dancing with a partner that you enjoy being with, but you don't go anywhere. All you're doing is entertaining. You know, you're passing the time and having fun, smiling and laughing and whatever, maybe eating some good food. But the point is, there's no spiritual advancement unless we look at each of the elements and think of the spiritual value of it. How about the coordination? That's a spiritual value. The balance, that's a spiritual value. Some of these dances, I mean, you bend the woman way over almost to the ground, or you might pull them between your legs, you know, in some of these dances. I mean, all kinds of things you can do in dancing that could be thought of as some spiritual qualities. And if you think of that, like my friend did when they saw the gymnastics, that's beautiful. Because if everything is qualities, we ought to be transferring our thought, translating and interpreting everything that we think, say, and do to a quality. And is this a quality that is helping mankind? In fact, that's what man's purpose is on earth. To be serving mankind, to be serving God, to be a servant. Remember, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Are we going to be humble enough to do everything possible to please someone? Frederick L. Rawson was one of the greatest practitioners of all time, one of the greatest researchers of Christian Science, one of the greatest authors of some of the most advanced things on Christian Science. And he says our purpose in life is to please other people. He said that's our purpose of being here, to please other people. Now here's a man where people came to him from around the world to solve problems in electricity that they could not solve. He's the one that realized through measuring, through using scientific tools and measuring devices, that when someone is having a problem, they actually have negative electricity in their body that he could measure. And when they had been healed, the negative electricity had been removed. And it had been removed not by some mechanical device like they're trying to use these med beds for, but it was removed because of a transformation of consciousness. And practicing what Shakespeare said about nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And we've got to forget about coming out of a woman's womb, because that's not our real beginning. That's not our real life. Our real life didn't come as a result of a man and woman getting together and doing their thing. Okay, our real life has always been in existence. We pre-existed prior to the so-called appearance as a baby in a mortal form. Just like the tree existed before the seed was ever planted, because it was in thought. In fact, if you think you're lacking something, all you have to do is conceive of what the solution is, because that opens the door to you accepting that the solution is already real. And if you recognize that, and that that comes from the one and only infinite mind, there's a good chance that you're going to see the solution become a reality in your experience. Think about the system. She says that it is, well, think about any system. How about mathematics? Do we want two different people to come up with two different solutions when they multiply 2 times 7? Do we want one to come up with 13 and one 15 and then another one to come up with the real answer, which is 14? How about divine metaphysics? It's the same as mathematics, the same as music. If you play an A and a C together, it's harmony. If you play an A and B together, it's not. It's discord. Do we want discord or do we want harmony? I don't care what anyone tells you, divine metaphysics is based on a system that Mary Baker Eddy tells us about on page 146. It's been reduced to a system. She totally rearranged science and health about 3 or 4 years before she passed. I think it was about 1905 or 6. Maybe it was 1902 or 3 or 4. But she had been working on it for 40 years. And yet she totally rearranged the book because she'd never read it from beginning to end. And when she read it from beginning to end, she says, wow, what have I got here? You know, because everything was spiritual inspiration. It wasn't until the last few years of her time on earth here in visible form that she realized that there was a system. And so she rearranged the chapters so they would be in a systematic format. She said, I've reduced Christian Science or divine metaphysics to a system. If we ignore that, we are shutting out one of the most valuable things she ever said, because that was like at the peak of her spiritual advancement in her development of the 432 issues of Science and Health. By the way, we have all of her writings based on her last final editions, which were in 1910. All of them. All 16 books. That includes the manual, that includes Science and Health, which was the final edition, number 432. That includes the first edition. That includes all of the miscellaneous, all of the 16 books, the manual, all of them. They are available in the 1910 editions. If we want to use the system and apply it to the scientific statement of being or apply it to anything, it's easy to do. All we have to do is understand that there are 7 synonymous terms, there are 4 operators, and there's 4 levels. And I've touched on those in this recording. And remember, there is nothing but God. Nothing. Nothing but God. There is nothing but God. 5 words. And God is all in all source and all manifestation. Frederick L. Rawson healed a man that had had a load of rocks dumped on him back around 1910 or so, 110 years ago or 113 years ago. The man jumped out of from underneath the pile of rocks that were on top of him without a scratch. The man standing next to him, who's also in our list of authors, Spalding, Mr. Spalding, is the one that recited the testimony about this. Mr. Frossen is too humble. He would have probably never said anything about it. But Spalding was so impressed and thought the world should know exactly what a fantastic healer, or what fantastic healing came about as a result of Mr. Rawson's work. There is nothing but God. Those are the five words that Mr. Rawson said, but he obviously said it with a spiritual understanding that was deep and sincere and focused. And after years and years of study and spiritual inspiration, that's what we've got to know. There is nothing but God, and we also have to seal our treatments by saying that God is all creative ability, all capacity, all functionality. Nothing can interfere with the truth in this treatment. Nothing can deflect it, divert it, stop it, or reverse it. Any healing that comes as a result of this treatment is permanent, because it is an exhibition, it is an example, it is a symbol of the power of God. Amen.